Rob here again. In this podcast series, I'm going to be talking about the biggest small word in the scriptures, the if word, like in the song, If I Only Had a Brain. Sadly, this very, very important if word is many times left out or not emphasized when people are teaching God's word. And the partner word or the matching word for the if word is the then word, if and then. It's sad how many times I hear Bible teachers totally ignore the tremendous significance of these two words. Time after time, I see social postings or I hear Bible teachers sharing part of a Bible verse while totally leaving out the condition or requirement that our Heavenly Father has put in the verse if one is to get what the Bible verse promises. Here's a simple example of what I mean. I can't tell you how many times I've heard Bible believers post or teach these words, big letters a lot of times if you're on Twitter or if you're on Facebook, God is a God of loving kindness. And it ends right there. When actually the Bible says, like Exodus 26 is a good example, Yahweh shows loving kindness to thousands, to those who love and keep his commandments. I'll be giving you numerous examples of verses like this throughout this podcast. Now, many times the if and or then words are implied. Here's just one example of what I mean. It says in John 14:23, Yeshua answered and said to him, if a believer loves me, then they will show me by keeping my word. The word then is not in the English Bible, but it's implied there clearly in the Greek language. Here is where the then word is implied. Even though it's not literally in our English Bible, it's clearly implied by what the Bible verse says. It says, and if a believer loves me, then they will show me that by keeping my word. And then my Father will love them. And then we will come to them and make our abode with them. Do you see the conditions here? The conditions for our Heavenly Father and for Yeshua Christ to be abiding with us is that we need to obey and keep God's commandments. Let me read John 14:23 in a paraphrased mode. Still, what I'm going to be sharing is exactly what the verse means. Again, just the English does a lousy translation of the Greek language. So it says in John 14:23, paraphrased by Brother Bob, Yeshua answered and said to him, if a believer loves me, then they will show me that by keeping my word. And if a believer loves me, then they will show me that by keeping and obeying my word. And then if a believer obeys me, my Father will love them, and then we will come to them and make our abode with them. Again, do you see the requirements or the conditions for our Heavenly Father and Yeshua Christ to be abiding with us? We just can't be born again. Yeshua Christ doesn't just abide with us because we're born again. We need to be doing those things that please him or please the Father. Now, other times, the if and then words are as plain as the nose on your face. It says in Matthew 6:15, but if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. So the qualification for our Heavenly Father forgiving us is that we need to forgive others. So what the if and then words do in Matthew 6:15 is to qualify what is being said by Yeshua Christ. It explains what the Bible verse means. So what the then word does is to qualify or explain what the consequences will be if you ignore the imperative or command in a Bible verse. So in Matthew 6:15, it says, but if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive you your transgression. The then word explains what happens when we disobey the if word. Yeshua Christ is quite clearly teaching believers that if they refuse to forgive those who come to them seeking forgiveness, their Heavenly Father will refuse to forgive his children when they come to him seeking forgiveness for a sin they committed. Now, this doesn't mean that our Heavenly Father will send them to hell. But the believer who has an unforgiving spirit will definitely suffer some kind of serious, bad, serious consequences of the judgment seat of Christ. A believer with an unforgiving spirit might even suffer earthly consequences like being disciplined, punished. The Lord has a really real problem with his children not being forgiving in light of the fact that he hung on them nails and died for us. So here's a little bit more complex example of the if and then words in a Bible verse or Bible verses. It says in Colossians 1:21 through 22, "And although you believers were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet Yeshua has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through his death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach." Now, sadly, this is where most Bible teachers stop. And that's sad because the next verse qualifies how we can stand in the presence of our Lord and Savior, being holy, blameless, and beyond reproach. It tells us what we need to do. Again, it isn't just that we're born again. We need to have this walk of holiness. We need to have what I call progressive sanctification going on in our life. And it's wrong when people don't qualify a Bible verse because, again, it takes away the truth of that Bible verse. It takes away from the teaching of what that Bible verse is trying to share with God's people. You see, 1 Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22 is not the end of the teaching. If you're looking to get the context of what's being shared, you need to read verse 23. Add 23 because that's part of the context of what's being shared in these verses. So when Bible teachers only teach part of some doctrinal verses, they are teaching you a biblical half-truth. And a biblical half-truth is in all actuality a lie. Half-truths never add up to a truth. And no matter how many half-truths a person might string together, half-truths always add up to a lie. Here's the teaching in Colossians chapter 1 with all the applicable verses. It says in Colossians 1:21 through 23, "And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet Yeshua has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through his death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach." Here's the big key, the if word, verse 23, "if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard." So you see the condition here for being holy, blameless, and beyond reproach in our Heavenly Father's eyes is that we have to continue to walk the talk. We need to be dealing with our sins. We need to be confessing, repenting. We need to be continually getting rid of the stuff in our life that doesn't please our Father and work on doing the things that please our Heavenly Father. It's a continual progressive sanctification. You see, the scriptures are clear. From the beginning into the end of the scriptures, it takes a walk of faithfulness, which would include obedience, confession, repentance, to stay holy and blameless, which would mean we're sin-washed and look good to our Heavenly Father. Sadly, many born-again believers have been brainwashed into believing that just because they're born again, they look good to God. And we don't look good to God just because we're born again. We're his children. But if we want to look good to our Heavenly Father, we need to be walking and doing those things that please our Heavenly Father. That's a no-brainer, isn't it? That should make sense to you. Simply being born again is easy. Christ did all the hard stuff for us to get born again. But now walking in a manner which pleases our Heavenly Father is going to take some work and some effort, some diligence, and some faithfulness. Brethren, Colossians 1:23 is the qualifying verse for Colossians 1:21 and 22. Again, 1:23 says, if we continue in the faith, then we can end up standing before the Lord and be seen as being holy, blameless, and beyond reproach. So what is the requirement to be seen as being holy, blameless, and beyond reproach in God's eyes? Believers must continue to walk faithfully according to God's word. And when we sin, we confess, we repent, we get up, we keep moving forward. We keep getting rid of the stuff in our life that's a distraction, that's worldly, that's not going to matter in eternity, and we start applying those things in our life that we know please our Heavenly Father. So let's dive into the biblical depths of the smallest big word in the Bible, the if word. I'm quite sure that most, if not all of us, have had one time or another in our life said to ourselves, if only I had done this or done that differently. I know I have regrets. Even as a believer, I have regrets. Obviously, not knowing Christ sooner is my biggest regret. Knowing Christ personally as my Savior and my Lord when I was younger would have helped me from doing some really stupid things. Here's my sad if-then moment as an unbeliever. When I was around 16 years old, I bought my first car. Didn't even have a license yet. I had my temporary license. Again, this is an exciting time in a young guy's life. My first paid-for car was a 1957 Chevy Bel Air Lincoln Package convertible. Yeah, you heard me right. It was a beauty. Black, orange interior. The guy I brought it from had actually taken the three-speed off the column and put a three-speed Hurst shifter on the floor. It was a nice car. Believe it or not, that car cost me a whole $150 back in 1971. I found out later in life that it was only one of 50 Bel Airs that it came with a fuel injection. Woo! Well, needless to say, I ignored the big if word that came from the guy I thought was uncool and out of touch, my father. You know how it is when you're a teenager, you know everything, and you think your dad just doesn't understand what life's all about. Well, my dad sees me bringing his 57 Chevy Bel Air convertible into the driveway, and he says, "Son, right now at this stage of your life, I know you think your dad is out of touch with cool, but that's a really nice car. My advice to you, son, is drive the car around once in a while. Don't beat the snot out of it. Take care of it. Keep it out of the elements. And then take it out once in a while and show it off to impress all the girls and then store it in a nice, clean, safe place during the winter time. And if you do that, in a few years, you'll be the proud owner of a classic car. If only I had listened to my uncool dad." Needless to say, today that 57 Chevy Bel Air convertible, Lincoln package, in that condition is worth over $100,000. If only I had listened to my dad. My beautiful wife still punches me every once in a while when I bring up the story about this car that I had. She jokingly says, "And to think, I could have been driving around in a 57 Chevy Bel Air convertible instead of a minivan." Well, I'm at peace about that car. Sort of. It hurts a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. The good Lord giveth, and the good Lord taketh away. Now, to be honest with you, at the stage I'm at in my Christian life, that car would mean nothing to me. I would have got rid of it a long time ago. It would just have been an idol or something that was insignificant in eternity, and I definitely wouldn't have kept a car. So let me give you an amazing biblical example of the if and then consequences for somebody who wasn't faithful. Adam, good old Adam. Adam, if you just stay away from one tree, one stinking tree in the Garden of Eden, I get to grow up running around naked with my wife, no mosquitoes, no bugs, no ticks. What a wonderful world it would be. Adam, you messed up. All you had to do was stay away from one tree. So basically Yahweh told Adam, "Adam, if you just stay away from that one tree, then you and your beautiful wife get to spend eternity in paradise." Seems like a no-brainer, doesn't it? When I get to heaven, Adam and I are going to have a long, long talk. And I feel pretty confident to say that Adam didn't have a clue. His sinning and ignoring the Lord's if word and ending up getting the consequences for what he did, Adam didn't have a clue that he was going to be affecting every human being that came after him. Sometimes when we do stuff that's wrong, we don't think about the secondary effect of doing something that we should not be doing, but that's a different story for a different time. Yeah, the scriptures are loaded with examples of believers ignoring the if. Ignoring the if. King Solomon, King Saul, Moses, speak to the rock, don't hit it. If you hit the rock, you're going to die. I mean, there's example after example in the scriptures of God's people ignoring what the Lord told them, and many times they suffered dearly because of it. Brethren, our Heavenly Father doesn't tell us stuff to do stuff just to hear himself talk. He's holy and just. He's not going to let us just ignore what his scriptures teach. We're either going to pay for it in this life, or when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to pay for it. So if we choose in this church age to ignore God's word, I promise you, when we get to the other side, we're going to be severely rebuked and shamed if we haven't confessed and repented of that disobedience. Now, I want to tie something in about my topic that is very important. So, you Bible teachers, please listen carefully to what I'm about to say. What I'm about to share is not a spiritual knock on Bible teachers who love to preach God's word, but there have been quite a few times over the years, and I've been doing this for over 40 years, when I have heard Bible teachers share great messages in hopes of encouraging and or inspiring believers to walk the talk. But they very seldom qualify the conditional requirements in the very Bible verses that they share. Brethren, our Heavenly Father is not going to bless us if we choose to ignore what He says. Yeshua Christ was irate with His followers who called Him Lord. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. And then ignored doing as He commanded. A conditional requirement from the Lord means that God will tell His people that He has this wonderful blessing or promise for them. However, in order to receive that blessing or promise from the Father, they must do what He commands them to do. What kind of parent is going to bless a disobedient child? Our Heavenly Father is no different. He's not going to bless a disobedient child. Now, there's a lot of believers who are ignorant of truth. That's a different topic. But there's also a lot of believers who know what the Scriptures teach, and they ignore doing it. Why, oh, why would our Heavenly Father bless a child of His who willfully chooses to ignore His biblical truths? Here's one simple example of a conditional requirement verse. A verse that says, we must do this or we must obey this in order to receive what God has promised. It says in Leviticus 26, 3 through 5, if you believers walk in my statutes and keep my commandments so as to carry them out, then I will give you rains in their season so that the land will yield its produce and the trees of the field will bear their fruit. Are you hearing what God's condition or requirements are for the harvest to be good for His people? God's people are told that they must obey God's commandments if they want to see God's blessing on their harvest. So the condition or requirement for having a good harvest is to obey God's commandments. Now, an unconditional blessing is different than a conditional blessing or promise. An unconditional blessing from the Lord means that there are no requirements for one to get or receive the blessing. What Christ did at Calvary was God's unconditional free gift for mankind. The only thing that a lost person has to do in order to receive this unconditional free gift is to believe it's free and accept it. And what's also important about this free gift is that it's free forevermore. That means you don't have to maintain it or preserve it once you get born again. How you live your life as a born-again believer has nothing to do with where you spend your eternity. Where you spend your eternity is based on faith in the gospel of Christ. On the other hand, how you live your earthly life as a born-again believer has everything to do with how your next life will be. Again, different topic for different time. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. He gave means it was free. Here's a great New Testament example of a conditional requirement from Christ. Christ said in John chapter 15, verse 14 through 15, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Please notice the conditional if word. Way too many people in the church think that they're friends with Christ simply because they're born again. So again, what is the requirement or condition that Yeshua Christ expects from His followers if they want to become a friend of His? Is it simply being saved? No. Is it simply going to church once in a while? No. Is it reading our Bibles? No. Or according to Christ Himself, the condition or requirement Yeshua expects if we want to be His friend is that we must obey God's commandments. And again, this also entails the aspect of knowing which commandments are for the church age. Again, a different topic for a different time. We need to, as born-again believers, we need to discern what our Heavenly Father wants us to be doing in the church age. He doesn't want us going in the backyard and offering up animal sacrifices. So now I hope that's not too difficult for you to understand, is it? So in other words, if you're a born-again believer and you are ignoring, keeping, or obeying God's commandments for the church age, you are not a friend of Christ, no matter how sincere you are. It's that simple, brethren. Again, way too many believers foolishly believe that they are friends with Christ simply because they're a child of God. Christ's own words, why do you call me Lord and then not do as I say? So again, you Bible teachers must be more diligent in teaching the conditions or requirements for receiving God's blessings. Way too many believers in the church want to turn the holy and just God of scriptures into the candy man God who hands out his candy to all his children just because he can. Our Heavenly Father's blessings or promises for his children are always conditional. The Lord tells his children, if you do this, then I will do as I promise. Again, simple stuff. So again, you Bible teachers or your social media site posters must be more diligent in teaching and or explaining the conditions or requirements for receiving God's blessings. Here's another New Testament example of some Bible verses that most times are not explained properly when they are taught. Please notice the conditional requirements and or consequences of ignoring those conditional requirements in these verses. And again, as with 99% of the New Testament Bible verses, these words are directed at God's people. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 11 through 13. This is a trustworthy statement. This is Paul speaking. This means you can take it to the bank. You can be guaranteed that what's coming up, God's going to be faithful in doing what it says. It says, for if we believers die with Christ, then we believers will also live with Christ. Again, that's a reward. You see that if you look at the churches in the book of Revelation, that's a reward. To live and die for Christ means you're going to get a special reward. One of the rewards or blessings you get in the kingdom life is you get a chance to live and rule and reign and help Christ serve inside the millennial kingdom city in the next life. Again, I did a whole bunch of podcasts on that. Please listen to my kingdom podcast. Verse 12, if we believers endure hardship, then we believers will reign with Christ. Again, the condition, if, then. It says, if we believers deny Christ, then he will also deny us. There's a scary verse in the scriptures where Christ says, anybody, and he's talking about any believer who's ashamed of me or my word, I'm going to be ashamed of them at the judgment seat in the presence of my Father. That should scare the bejeebies out of believers. It isn't just lollipops and candyland when you get to the other side, saints. Verse 13, if we believers are unfaithful, Yeshua remains faithful to his word, for he will not ignore his truths. What this verse means is that he's going to do exactly what he said. If we ignore or disobey his word, he's going to be faithful to his word and punish us or discipline us or rebuke us or kick us out of the kingdom in the next life. God's going to be faithful to his word. Just because we're unfaithful to his word doesn't mean he's going to ignore it. There's going to be consequences. So again, the idea here is that this is a believer who's doing these things and they don't really care that they're being unfaithful. There's no sense of remorse. There's no confession attitude. There's no repentant attitude. These are directed at believers who are willfully choosing to ignore the scriptures. What Yeshua Christ is just telling his church is that you're either going to pay for it in this life or you're going to pay for it in the next life. Now, the only way to restore our relationship with the Lord is through confession and repentance. So we can screw up, we can do some dumb things, we can deny the Lord, we can be unfaithful, but then if we get a right attitude and repent and confess of that laziness or that disobedience, we can get back on the right path with the Lord. But if we die and these sins are still lingering, it's not going to be a good day for you at the judgment seat. I promise you that. I promise you, if you're a born-again believer and you died denying your faith or denying the Lord's word, or you were unfaithful when you knew what you should have did, the next life is going to be rough for you. Now, you're still going to go to heaven. You're not going to go to hell. But for all eternity, you're going to be ashamed of yourself because you knew you wasted your life living for yourself rather than living for the one who died for you. That single if word means a lot. That little two-letter word if is a powerful word. The word if separates us from getting and not getting something. The word if is the difference between achieving and not achieving. I promise you that many believers at the judgment seat of Christ will say to themselves, if only I had, and you can fill in the blank, if only I had put more effort into knowing God's word. If only I had been more faithful in obeying God's word once I learned it. If only I had been more faithful in my evangelism. If only I had prayed more. If only. Understanding the significance of the word if in the scriptures makes all the difference in the world between us being seen as pleasing children and non-pleasing children to our Heavenly Father. I could give you 100 Bible verses which clearly show that there is a condition or requirement expected of us if we want our Heavenly Father to be pleased with us. Here's one of the saddest verses in the scriptures. It says in Isaiah 48:18, this is the Lord talking to his people. If only my people had paid attention to my commandments, then their well-being would be like a river and their righteousness like the waves of the sea. It says in John 15:10, if you believers keep my commandments, then you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. So do believers simply abide with Christ because they got born again sometime in the past? No. Galatians 6:9, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. There it is, that if word again. So what happens to the believer who grows weary? The idea of growing weary means to give up serving your Savior. It doesn't mean that you stop believing he died for you. It just means that you stop serving him. You stop doing what the book says. The believer who gives up walking righteously and obediently with the Lord will not hear, well done, good and faithful servant, at the judgment seat of Christ. Brethren, there are a lot of wonderful rewards, blessings, and promises from the Lord throughout the scriptures. But all those rewards, promises, and blessings come with a condition. The condition being that if we do as the Lord commands, then he will do as he promised. It says in Numbers 14:8, if the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. There are those two important if and then words again. Brethren, there are very few things the Lord does unconditionally for his children. And yet the church is loaded with teachers who do not qualify what it takes to receive God's rewards, blessings, and promises. And sadly, because of that, I believe most believers incorrectly think that the good Lord has bushel baskets full of rewards and blessings that he's going to hand out to his children simply because they are his children. It does not work that way, brethren. Again, in the Old Testament, Yahweh told his children, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and make sure you carry them out, then I'll give you the rains in their season. Your land will produce its fruit and your fruit trees will have more fruit than you can handle. That's a promise, but that promise is conditional. It's based on the believer faithfully walking according to the Lord's commandments. Again, our Heavenly Father always tells his children, if you do this, then I will do what I promised. I could go on and on and on with Bible verses showing the if and then conditional requirements for receiving God's rewards, blessings, or promises. Here's some great verses, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12. Then one night Yahweh appeared to Solomon and said, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this temple as the place for my sacrifices. At times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls or command grasshoppers to devour your crops or send plagues among you. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will restore their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place if my people turn their face towards me. For I have chosen this temple and set it apart to be holy, a place where my name will be honored forever. And his name is Yahweh, by the way, not Lord. Lord's a title. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart. Verse 17, as for you, if you faithfully follow me, Solomon, as David your father did, obeying all my commandments, decrees, and regulations, then I will establish the throne of your dynasty forever. And unfortunately, Solomon did not do that. For I made this covenant with your father David when I said, one of your descendants will always rule over Israel. Verse 19, but if you or your descendants abandon me and disobey the decrees and commandments that I have given you, and if you serve and worship other gods, then I will uproot the people from this land that I have given them. I will reject this temple that I have made holy to honor my name. I will make it an object of mockery and ridicule among the nations. And unfortunately, King Solomon, who was the wisest man probably after Yeshua Christ, did exactly what the Lord didn't want him to do. He walked away from being faithful, and that's a different topic for a different time. But Solomon ended up having his eternal kingship taken away from him. In the millennial and the new earth kingdoms, King Solomon is not going to be rewarded like his father was. It's because he didn't do what the Lord commanded him to do. So I'm going to stop here. Brethren, next time you read those beautiful and encouraging Bible promise verses from the Lord, look for the condition or requirement that our Heavenly Father puts on his children if they want to receive what he has promised. Your true friend in Christ, Brother Bob.